I really appreciate you doing this, coming. Remember that debates are really just in-depth Bible studies where both sides are fairly heard. That's really all they are. They're not. There's no contest or anything like that. It's not a high school debating thing where you have judges or anything. It's just a Bible study. That's all. Greg and I are going to be friends when we do this discussion. And hopefully, we're going to treat each other in a kind way, because all we're looking for is the truth of what the Bible says. That's what we should be looking for. Greg and I had a debate in 1995. The Metropolitan Community Church down in Birmingham hosted that debate. I'm sort of paying Greg back for that by asking this congregation to host this one. But when we had that debate, that's what happened. Greg and I did not get ugly with each other. We did have a Bible study, and we did try to present opposing points of view. And all of us need to keep an open mind and listen to what the Bible has to say. And most of all, if we find out that the Bible teaches clearly that the way we're living or that our position is wrong, we need to change if we expect to go to heaven. I would like to begin in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus. Now, it is true, Greg, that we are not under the Old Testament law. We agree with you on that. But it is good, I believe, in this case, to start with the Old Testament and see what the Old Testament taught about this particular matter, because the Old Testament did teach about homosexuality, and I believe it is very clear what it had to say. If you look at Leviticus 18, verse 22, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." So that's what the book of Leviticus said, that lying with man, to lie with a man, and this is talking sexually, because it says, "at with woman." We're not just talking about lying with them and just sleeping with them to save money at a hotel room. We're talking about lying with them as with a woman. That means sexually. The Bible in the Old Testament said it was an abomination. Now, the very same thing is said in chapter 20, verse 13. That's on the same chart, Bobby. It says, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. And note this, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." So the law of Moses calls homosexual relations an abomination. It was clearly wrong back then. As a matter of fact, it was what we call a capital offense. People were supposed to be put to death for committing that sin under the Old Testament law. Number two, Bob. Now I want to make another point. In the Old Testament, in these passages we've looked at in Leviticus, homosexuality is not only condemned, it's condemned right alongside bestiality. Now, the way we pronounce that word is kind of confusing. It sounds like something that's good, the best, bestiality. If I were to mispronounce that and say bestiality, then you would know exactly what I'm talking about. Bestiality is when a man has sexual relations with a beast or an animal, or a woman who has relations with an animal. And I believe if we look in Leviticus, we're going to see that God puts homosexuality in the same category as bestiality, or bestiality, if you will. Notice that he said in Leviticus 18:22, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither," that's the very next word, "neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion." So God is saying in the Old Testament that a man should not lie with a man, neither should he lie with a beast. Do you see that they're put in the same category? They're both an abomination. They're both sinful, according to the Old Testament. The same thing is done in Leviticus 20, really. We read verse 13 where it says, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." And then in verse 15 and 16 it says, "And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. Thou shalt surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Now, you know, just about every argument that Greg, my friend Greg, will make tonight in trying to justify homosexuality, it will also justify a man having relations with an animal. You watch and notice that just about every argument he makes will also justify that. It will also justify what a pedophile does, if I'm pronouncing that right. A man who takes advantage of a child and has sexual relations with a child. Which, hopefully, all of us here, including Greg, believe that bestiality and being a pedophile is wrong. And that's why I want to say this is just as bad as those. Rick, why don't you do your job as the moderator to get me a little water? Now, next turn to Romans 1, 24 through 27, chart number 3. We talked about that on the way over here, so you don't have to worry about him being offended. In Romans 1, I'm going to read verses 24 and then verses 26 through 27. You can read along with me on this chart out of the King James Version. It says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Now, we talked about the Old Testament. Now, we know we're under the New Testament law, but let's talk about the New Testament. What does it say? Romans 1 is very clear on this matter. Notice the terms that Romans 1, we've just read, the terms or phrases used to refer to homosexuality in this passage are uncleanness, dishonor, vile, change the natural use, against nature, leaving the natural use, unseemly, and error. Greg, all of these terms here are used to talk about homosexuality. Now, Bobby, put up 15 briefly. I want to give you a definition for the word nature, at least as used in this verse according to Mr. Thayer. Right here is that definition. Here's what Mr. Thayer, one of the standard lexicons, gives as a definition for nature as used in Romans 1:26. He says, the nature of things, the force, laws, you can raise it up, Bobby, laws, order of nature, as opposed to what is monstrous, abnormal, perverse, that which is contrary to nature's laws, against nature. You see, that's the definition for against nature in Romans 1. Monstrous, abnormal, perverse. Now put that other one back up, Bob. Let me stop right here. You know, after looking at these passages in Leviticus and Romans 1 and some others we're going to look as we get time, you might think, Pat, aren't you being a little harsh? I don't mean to be harsh, okay? The Bible is saying these things about this sin that we have under discussion tonight. Greg and Greg's brethren that are here, the only reason that I'm doing this is because I love you, okay? We're not doing this because we hate you or because we want to make fun of you. That is the farthest thing from our minds. We love you so that we want you to correct the error of your ways, which we believe the Bible teaches that it is error. And that is the only way you can go to heaven is if you correct the error of your ways. We want to see you in heaven. And I know that all of my brethren here that have showed up agree with that. We're not homophobics. We want you guys to change so you can go to heaven. So the reason we're doing this is because we love you. So I don't mean this to be harsh. When I show from the Bible that homosexuality is condemned right alongside bestiality, I'm not making fun of you guys or trying to be hateful to you guys. I'm just trying to point out in a kind way that the Bible says in no uncertain terms that this sin is wrong, or this activity is sin, and you're going to have to repent and change if you want to go to heaven. That's all I'm talking about. Now, before we move on, let me elaborate just a little bit on this word nature. We've read the definition. It's hard not to get too frank in discussions like this, but I want to say something that will help us all understand that we can tell from our own common sense, even if the Bible hadn't told us that this was unnatural, our own common sense should have told us this was unnatural. A preacher friend one time talking about homosexuality said, the plumbing doesn't fit. The plumbing doesn't match. We could look at our own bodies, male and female, and tell what was intended by our Creator as far as sexual relations were concerned. Anybody that's ever done a little plumbing and knows the male and the female knows how the plumbing must fit. So we understand exactly that this is unnatural what people are doing. And we could know that even if the Bible hadn't told us. But the Bible does tell us that. Now, before we move on, if you're in Romans 1, you'll notice that in Romans 1, the Bible basically has said, because you have gone off into idolatry, I gave you over to this sin, gave you up. One of those sins he's talked about is homosexuality, but he makes the same point toward the end of the chapter. He basically says, because you have gone off into idolatry, I gave you up into these sins. And he names these sins in verses 29 and 30 and 31, and here I have a list, fornication, wickedness, murder, deceit, haters of God, unmerciful. So no matter what Greg does to try to take away from the fact that this passage condemns homosexuality, when he does that, he's in effect going to be justifying all the rest of these sins. Because Paul says that homosexuality is wrong in this passage, And then he goes on to say, here are some other things that are wrong. Remember then that all of these are condemned. And if homosexuality is not wrong, then neither are any of these other things. The next chart, Bobby. Next, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. Now, at the top, I have the King James Version of that verse. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. As Greg pointed out to me in our last debate, the English word homosexual was not really coined until the 1800s. So when the King James was translated, you didn't have that English word. And that's why some of these things may not be so clear on the surface what he's talking about. But if you look at a newer version, you will see that what we're talking about in these two words, effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind, by the way, that all comes from one Greek word, that what he's talking about here is homosexuals. And the Greek words that is translated here are referring to homosexuals. Here's the New King James Version. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, neither homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now what we're trying to show is that Paul has said these people who commit these sins, including the sin of homosexuality, and he gives two different terms describing them here, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Greg, that's our motive for being here. We don't want you fellas to miss out on inheriting the kingdom of God because of this sin. We want you to repent of all your sins, and specifically we're talking about the sin of being a homosexual tonight. We need folks to change and repent of that so they can go to heaven. Now these two words, if you look at the footnotes, the first one, catamites, that would be those submitting to homosexuals, and the second one, sodomites, male homosexuals. We're going to talk about that a little more in the next chart. We're going to look at these two Greek words. Bob, put up the next chart. I believe it's number 6. This Greek word that was translated effeminate in the King James Version, it's not talking about just a guy who's a sissy, okay? It's talking about a homosexual. It's the Greek word, and Rick can correct me when I get this wrong, malakoia, okay? That is the Greek word, the best I can pronounce it. Paul condemned those described as malakoia, or effeminate, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Notice what Mr. John Stott, in the book Homosexual Marriage, said about it, about the word. It meant males, not necessarily boys, who played the passive role in homosexual intercourse. What you're going to see here is there are two words. This word, malakoia, describes the gay man who takes the feminine role in the relationship. The other word, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, is arsenokoetes, not yet, Bobby. It describes the gay man who takes the male role in the relationship. When they have this relationship between two gay men, normally, one takes the female role and one takes the male role. And the Bible is condemning both of those by using both words in this one verse. This word, we're still on this first Greek word, is defined as, and by the way, this is Strong's number 3120, Arden Gingrich, of persons, soft, effeminate, especially of catamites, men and boys who allow themselves to be misused homosexually. That's the one taking the feminine role. Thayer, effeminate, of a catamite, a male who submits his body to a natural lewdness. According to Strong, figuratively, a catamite, effeminate, soft. Wigram Green, effeminate, specifically as of homosexual males. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, then condemns homosexual relations, Bobby. Now, the next Greek word was the one that was translated in the King James, abusers of themselves with mankind. Them that defile themselves with mankind. We'll see in a minute that it's also used in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Paul condemns those described as arsenokoetes. Now, this is describing the homosexual who takes the male role in this relationship. Male, M-A-L-E. John R. Stott said the Greeks used this expression to describe the one who took the active role. Thayer describes this Greek word, or defines it as, one who lies with a male as with a female, a sodomite. Arden Gingrich, a male homosexual, pederast, sodomite. Strong defines it as a sodomite. Wigram Green, a male homosexual, or a sodomite. Raise that up, Bob. It is translated. Here's a number of translations of this word in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. And the New American Standard has homosexuals. New King James, sodomites. Simple English, homosexuals. Homosexuals, sodomites. Partakers in homosexuality. Nor those who participate in homosexuality. Homosexualists. And the Williams translation, men who practice sodomy. And so 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 condemns both types of the male homosexuals. Now go to the chart number 5 that puts up 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, Bobby. Let's read 1 Timothy 1, verses 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. I may have said that wrong. It says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for prostitutes, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. This expression in the King James that's translated, them that defile themselves with mankind, that's one Greek word. Again, it is arsenokoetes. Okay? The literal of that is male bed. This is saying that this person, this homosexual, the one that takes the active role, the male role in this homosexual relationship, is condemned right alongside those who are ungodly, sinners, unholy and profane, murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, and so forth. You see how serious God says this sin is? The New King James Version translates this Greek word in this passage in 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, sodomites. The simple English New Testament translates it homosexual. And so the Bible is very clear and spells it right out for us in the New Testament that homosexuals shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we need to stand against this sin. We need to preach against it, and we need to stop practicing this sin. Bob, everybody turn to Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said there, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Notice that. Not male and male. He made them male and female. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Jesus specifies what a marriage should be between male and female, not male and male. Now, my friend over here, Greg, belongs to the Metropolitan Community Church, and they, though it's not recognized by any of the states, I don't guess, possibly Vermont, but certainly not in Tennessee and Alabama, as being legal, they have what they call something they call holy union. It's their marriage ceremony. And they marry males to males and females to females. But Jesus said, male with female. Now in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2, Jesus said, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own husband. No, his own wife. And let every woman have her own husband. It's clear and simple what God intended for marriage to be. To be between male and female. And so these two passages and similar passages condemn homosexual marriages and relations. Now, I would like to talk at this time about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. This takes possibly a little more time than the charts I've already been on. But the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is found in Genesis 19, 1 through 24. And we're not going to be able to read all that. But if you go home and read all that, that would be good. You'll remember the story. Some visitors came to visit Lot. And some men came and wanted to get to know these men. They wanted to have sexual relations with these men. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, the Bible, talking to Abraham, I believe, said, the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous. I want you to notice that this is called sin before the visitors ever come. Now, when the visitors come, let's notice what happens in Genesis 19, verses 4 and 5. It says, but before they lay down, talking about the visitors, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. That was the Old Testament way of saying, have relations with them, sexual relations. A nice way to say it, I believe. These men were asking to have homosexual relations with other men. Notice verse 7. Lot said, and I said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. So the proposed homosexual relations were called wicked at that point, and then Lot rebuffs their request. He says no. Then in verse 9, they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. They didn't take no for an answer. Now they're going to try to rape the men. Genesis 19:24, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because of their wickedness, in particular their homosexuality. Jude verse 7, the Bible calls their sin fornication, not inhospitality, Greg. And then it says they were going after strange flesh. So it wasn't just fornication alone. It was homosexual fornication. This Bible story is so well known, Greg, and so well understood that the term sodomite is now used to refer to homosexuals coming from the next town. You can, Greg, you can avoid God's judgment for practicing homosexuality by repenting of / quitting the sin. I urge you to do so. That's the only thing the Bible would allow you to do if you want to go to heaven. You must stop this sin. We urge you to do so.